You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. The classic suburban house with a white picket fence and a big yard was once the image of the American dream. After World War II, the interstate highway system made suburban sprawl possible by linking jobs in the urban core to residential developments farther out. But in recent years, the trend is reversed. More and more people are more interested in moving to urban, pedestrian-friendly communities. A recent report from the MSU Land Policy Institute and George Washington University suggests Michigan is lagging behind the rest of the country when it comes to meeting the demand for walkable communities. To learn more, I talked with Mary Beth Grabert, Associate Director of Programs and Operations at the Land Policy Institute. I first asked her what it was that makes a community walkable.
The features of a walkable community include mixed use. So there's a mix of residential, retail, and office space. There's also access to a lot of amenities by foot. So you can get to a restaurant, you can get to a grocery store, you can get to a coffee shop without getting in your car. And we measured that in the report through Walk Score, which is a score of 0 to 100 in terms of how many amenities are within walking distance of your address. Also, we have safe streets, so safe street crossings and sidewalks. And then it was beyond the scope of our study, but, you know, something pleasant to look at when you're walking.
So it's not just the ability to walk somewhere, it's having somewhere that you can walk to.
Exactly.
It's having a destination.
Right.
You note in the report that the demand for walkable urban development is going up. According to national polls you cite in the report, mm-hmm. about 40% of people would like to live in a community where they can walk to amenities. Where is this increase in demand coming from demographically? Do we know?
Sure. Demographically, we're seeing the millennials in particular want to live in walkable urban places, and they're one of the largest generation or population segments. Also, we're seeing some evidence that baby boomers want to live in walkable places so that they can have access to amenities. In addition, we mentioned in the report that more one- and two-person households are looking for urban living, walkable living, and we have 64% of households in Michigan are now one- and two-person households.
How much of Michigan's current housing stock is located in what would be considered a walkable community?
Right. So what we found in this study is that only about 8% of the housing stock in the seven metros that we studied is located in the walk-ups, which are the places that are walkable and also a regional draw from an employment or a retail standpoint.
That is not a very high number.
No, it's not.
Yeah, in this report, you focused on seven different metropolitan areas. I'll tick through them real quickly here, and a lot of them are hyphenated here. Mm-hmm. Detroit, Ann Arbor, Flint, Grand Rapids, Muskegon, Holland, Jackson, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Lansing, no hyphen there, and Saginaw, Bay City, Midland. Which of those areas are shifting toward more walkable development?
Right. Well, Grand Rapids is probably the leader. You know, they've definitely been having more walkable development in their downtown. We're also seeing that in Detroit. So downtown and midtown Detroit in particular, and then Main Street Ann Arbor is really a good example of a walkable community. Mm-hmm.
How much of that success has to do with the overall economic picture in those communities?
Well, we definitely think that there is a link between walkability and economic development. We see a correlation between GDP and educational attainment and walkability, but we don't have a real causal relationship teased out yet.
Mary Beth Grabert is Associate Director for Programs and Operations at MSU's Land Policy Institute. We're talking about the Institute's new report looking at the walkability of Michigan metro areas. What's the situation like here in Lansing?
Well, in Lansing, in the study, we found that we are tipping towards walkability. We are seeing higher rents in our residential as well as office and retail, which is generally a sign that there's higher demand for being in those places. Mm. We're also finding that a large number of our commuters who are in the walk-ups are walking or using bikes or transit to get to work. It's 65% of people in those areas versus the rest of the region. And that's the highest of the seven metros that we studied.
How does that compare to metro areas in other parts of the country, Lansing? And how does Michigan compare with other parts of the country?
Right. Well, in terms of that percentage, in terms of those walk-ups, you would see a higher percentage in places like Washington, D.C. or Boston, where there are more people in those walkable urban places that are actually taking transit or walking. One of the things that we're lacking here in Michigan is transit. We do have buses, but we don't have rail transit. So we're moving in that direction. We're seeing bus rapid transit in Grand Rapids, and then a vision for BRT in Lansing, and we're seeing the M1 rail in Detroit. So those will help us to move those populations more towards non-car commuting.
Many Michigan communities, Lansing included, were built around the state's automotive industry. Has that impacted how much the state favored drivable communities as opposed to more walkable development?
Yeah, we think so. We think that the dependence on automobiles and maybe this preference of automobiles over transit had led to the sprawl that we've seen over the last half century. We saw an emptying out of the cities and a reduction in tax base, which led to an inability to maintain those downtown infrastructures. So this resurgence of people moving back into the cities is exciting for the future of those communities.
There is an ongoing and enormous debate in this state over how to pay for better roads and bridges and infrastructure. Are there cost savings associated with a more walkable approach to infrastructure?
Well, as we say in the report, we've already developed this big infrastructure that we do need to take care of. But if we focus our efforts on redeveloping in the downtown areas as opposed to growing further out from our cities and creating more roads, then we will be better able to take care of the roads that we create because there's greater density in the cities using those roads.
This 8% number is kind of ringing in my ear here. What kinds of consequences do you think the state's rather limited walkable development has had on the overall economy?
Right. Well, one of the things that we know is true is that talented knowledge workers are moving to walkable urban places. And if there isn't any residential space for them to move to, of course, they're going to maybe choose a Chicago, which has more housing stock in the walkable area than a Detroit. So we really do need to see more development of housing stock in our walkable places.
And then the flip side of that would be, what kind of potential benefits do you see for Michigan if it starts to increase the number of walkable urban areas?
Right. I think there's a better chance that we'll be able to keep some of the college students, you know, those folks who graduate from MSU, and we want to keep them here in Lansing or in Detroit or Grand Rapids. If we have places for them to live and work, we're going to have a better chance of keeping them, as well as attracting some people, young people in particular, from Chicago or Boston or maybe even out
west. Who knows where?
Sure.
Yeah. We're talking about a new report from the MSU Land Institute and George Washington University that looks at the increasing demand but limited supply of walkable development in Michigan. Our guest is Mary Beth Grabert, Associate Director for the Programs and Operations at the Land Institute. One of the interesting things you point out in the report is that Michigan and much of the Midwest here, we tend to have housing that either falls into the single-family house with a decent-sized lot, and then apartment buildings without a lot of options in between the two. I take it there is housing in the middle that you might argue is missing. Could you talk to us about that?
Right. Yeah, there is a notion that there's a missing middle in housing stock, especially in those walkable urban places. So types of housing like condos or townhomes or, you know, multifamily units that aren't big high-rise apartments that provide a little bit more space, but not the single-family home that's maybe further out from some of the other amenities.
In recent years, as people have started to migrate back to the urban core, there's been a lot more tension over the issue of gentrification, where lower-income people are pushed out as rents and costs of living increase. Is this a risk that needs to be taken into account when Michigan communities start looking at trying to create more walkable urban spaces?
Yes, we really see this as an opportunity. This is a chance for us to get out ahead of that. You know, as we're envisioning the redevelopment in our downtown areas, we can make sure that we work in some affordable and workforce housing into those developments using some support from places like the Michigan State Housing Development Authority to make sure that we're providing space for all income ranges.
The report focuses on these seven urban areas, which are arguably Michigan's biggest cities. What about Michigan's smaller cities?
Right. There's definitely an opportunity for walkable development in the smaller cities like Traverse City and Marquette. We're focusing on the largest metros, as you mentioned. But there's no reason that these types of policies and, a creation of mixed use and residential in the downtown areas can't be equally beneficial for them.
Mary Beth, given that demand for these kinds of communities is increasing, is it possible that the market will guide development toward more walkable spaces on its own, or will this require policy changes?
Right. Well, we are seeing some of that happening. There are developers who are developing downtown, and we are seeing that they're making a profit. But we heard in talking to developers in the different metros that they don't necessarily see the economics leaning towards the walkable places yet. Mm. And therefore, there's a need for public-private partnerships, potentially subsidies that would help to de-risk those projects for them. There's also a need for policies, as you mentioned, to lean towards redevelopment in the walkable places. How can we streamline the process for those developers?
Are zoning codes part of this landscape?
Sure, they are. Yeah, we can definitely make different buildings more walkable or different neighborhoods more walkable through the zoning by moving buildings closer to the street so it feels more like a walkable place, by providing for mixed uses so we have buildings that don't segregate uses. Those things make it more walkable
for
people.
Are municipal governments moving in that direction? Are they aware of these things?
Sure, we've seen a lot of evidence of that. There's the Michigan Economic Development Corporation's Redevelopment Ready Communities that is working with a number of communities across Michigan to ensure that their policies are conducive to development in walkable urban areas.
And what any other things that state or local governments could do to encourage walkable development?
Sure. They can help to develop some public spaces in the downtowns that will help to attract people. So, walkability is a combination of both private and walkable and public land. So more parks in downtown areas, more benches along sidewalks that really draw people to those areas so that they want to be out of their car and be walking around.
Interesting topic. We've been talking about the move toward walkable communities and how Michigan metro areas stack up to the rest of the country. Our guest has been Mary Beth Graebert, Associate Director of Programs and Operations at MSU's Land Policy Institute. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.